Well, welcome this morning to Lake Country Bible Church. There's not a strange face in the crowd this morning, but just in case I miss somebody, if you're a first-time visitor, please look in the pouch in the chair in front of you. There should be a little pouch there with a form and a pen. If you'd fill that out, put that in the basket on the right-hand side of the door on the way out this morning. Let us know a little about yourselves, and we'll see you back getting in touch, making sure you're welcomed, and we want you back. So thank you.
Good morning. We okay? I think we are. Changing of mics here. If you'll peruse the announcements in your bulletin, you can notice that we have a prayer meeting that occurs in this morning, Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock in the room to the right, through the door, and back into the conference room. That same room also holds a Bible study on Tuesday night for the ladies. Terry Buckler is leading a study of 2 Samuel still, I believe, and everybody, of course, is welcome in either one of those occasions, Sunday morning and Tuesday night at 6:30. Then Wednesday night, you notice our service takes place at 6 o'clock here in this room. We do prayer requests before, and we have a lesson, and we sing a song as well. Fellowship potluck today. Next door is plenty of food. If you've never attended before, if you're a visitor, here we have a visitor. But feel free to join us. There's plenty of food and great fellowship. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we gather this morning in worship of just who you are, for we know that you are present this morning in all houses of worship where your indwelling Spirit blesses those who believe in you. Lord, we who have believed you and know you, know that you are all truth, and that you are, have been since the beginning, and that you are one with the Father, and with all the sons of Adam who have believed. Your indwelling presence, Lord, is an amazing thing, Lord. We just thank you for it. You are, after all, our Lamb of God who takes away our sin and the sin of the world, for you did this as the high priest of good things to come, for as it is written that without the shedding of the blood of the high priest, there is no remission for sin. Lord, gratefully do we read in the scriptures also that your own blood did enter the most holy place. And it did this once, and it did it for all, having obtained eternally our redemption. Lord, we also gratefully read that believers are to eagerly await for your appearance, that we might see you as our hope, descending from heaven with a shout, as the scriptures tell us, and the voice of the archangel, as the scriptures tell us, and the trump of your Father. Lord, ever we should take comfort in all of your word, for it is truth. For your plan and purpose of the ages is revealed to us by your indwelling, and your Spirit, which is given to all who have believed in your gospel message. Lord, we acknowledge the times in which we live are actually times of great, Lord, great promise, despite the evil which we see and it seeks to surround us so. Lord, as you have said, we must love one another as you have first loved us. Lord, we ask you to soften our hearts when we would harden them. Lord, we ask you to write your word on our hearts as you promised in your word, lest we would sin against you, for against you alone do we sin. How else shall we then forgive? For there is none else to whom we should turn that we may then be able to forgive. Lord, we ask your blessing on this time today, our worship here this morning. We rejoice in the scriptures that you have so lovingly given us. And with great wonder do we await the unfolding of your promises, your covenants, and your kingdom. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we're in Daniel this morning. Daniel chapter 10. We will be reading chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. Daniel chapter 10, 1 through 12. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long. And he understood the message and had the understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came to my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is, the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked. Behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, and his eyes like torches of fire, his feet and arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor had turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard a sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble in my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for I have been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. And then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words.
I don't want anybody getting up and leaving. I'm not going to sing a special this morning. Good morning, church. It's good to look out and see your smiling faces. We are still enjoying the sing that we had last night. That if you weren't here, you missed a real blessing. It was a very enjoyable time. Brad did a great job in finding these folks. Brad, I guess they're friends of yours from years ago. Did you live up in Honey Grove?
I work at Bottom Prison.
Okay. Sound like if it wasn't for the prison, they'd have no 15-year history. I tell you what, they were a joy to get to know. and they could evermore play that guitar. And our own Arben Smith did us proud last night. Arben, I enjoyed all that you presented last night, and I'd like to hear some more of your music. And so get with Brad and let him know that you're ready and willing. And Brad, I'm sure that you will make sure that Arben has a place on our program. But we got home last night. It was so good. Brenda and I were talking. It was so good to get home and get into bed and get warm. And this morning, this morning, you better be glad that I was dressed a little bit early. Our lights went out. Grand Saline, and also I understand in Fruitvale. And it would have been a sight if I hadn't already been dressed. I had to use a flashlight to gather up some clothes. So it's good to have you here this morning. I am told that toward the end of the Sunday service, the pastor asked the congregation, how many of you have forgiven your enemies? 80% lifted up their hands. The minister then repeated his question. All responded this time except one small elderly lady. Mrs. Neely, are you not willing to forgive your enemies? She replied very sweetly, I don't have any. What do you mean, Ms. Neely? That's very unusual. How old are you? 98, she replied sweetly. Mrs. Neely, can you tell us how a person can live to be 98 years old and not have an enemy in the world? Very sweetly, Mrs. Neely responded, it's simple. I outlived them all. Also read that a preacher at the offering, at the time of taking an offering, no, we don't take an offering, we have a box hanging back there on the wall. But anyway, this church took up an offering past the plate. And the pastor announced, and now, brethren, let us all give in accordance with what we reported on our income taxes. So, off to a good start. Laughter is as good as the music last night. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning, and we're so grateful, Father, as we learned in Sunday school this morning, that God uses imperfect people. Because, Father, that's all you've got to work with, is imperfect people. And we, as your children, having trusted Christ as our personal Savior, still, many times in our walk, we're not perfect, we're imperfect. And Father, we stand as imperfect, saved people, Father, still living in this old fleshly body, and we ask, Father, your leadership and direction in our lives, and Father, in this study this morning. Thank you so much for grace. We're always needing grace. And Father, we ask that you'd bless this time together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Daniel chapter 10. We're moving right along in our study. It's been several months that we've been in Daniel, and I trust that it has been beneficial to you. But in Daniel chapter 10, the outlook of Daniel here in chapter 10 is that his attention is turned inward on himself, concerned with the things that he experienced during this time in his imprisonment there in the country or near the city of Babylon. And so nothing is given to us here concerning future events. It's all current events in the life of Daniel. The prince of Grecia is probably the only thing that it looks into the future and is mentioned, which points to the next government. Other than that, Daniel's attention and his expounding is on himself and what he experienced. We do learn something, though, here in Daniel chapter 10 about the doctrine of prayer and how God sometimes answers our prayers immediately and sometimes it a while before he answers our prayers. Also, we find here is we find quite a bit about the doctrine of angels. And so to get started this morning, I'm going to repeat some of the verses that were read earlier. And we find in Daniel chapter 10, verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. This vision that Daniel had, this experience that he had, was something that was off into the future, the distant future. Now, many of the things that Daniel revealed here in Daniel, we find all deal with future events. But this was something that Daniel experienced here as he was there mourning for a period of 3 weeks, we find in Daniel chapter 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning. Evidently, he was troubled about things. He looked around him, himself, and he found that things were not exactly orderly. They were not exactly as they should be. They were in disarray. And so Daniel says in chapter 10, verse 3, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine to my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, in Daniel 10, verse 4, and in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. What we have here is a vision that Daniel had. And he is going to tell us what this man had to say to him. His body also was like the barrel, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. This man was not dressed like those around Daniel. This man was not dressed like the others in that part of the world that Daniel was experiencing. And in verse 7, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. So Daniel was the only one who experienced this vision. But the ones around him did experience something else. But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, Daniel said, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. This was a forbidding or foreboding type sight that Daniel was seeing. And he said, yet I heard the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Daniel was sprawled out on the ground, face first on the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hand. So we find here, as Daniel is speaking, we are to understand that Daniel was experiencing something like he had never experienced before. Now, Daniel there, as he was incarcerated and lived many, many years in Babylon, Daniel experienced a lot of visions that God gave him while he was here in Babylon. And throughout the Old Testament, we see the development of prayer explained. And here we find Daniel praying for 3 whole months. He was in mourning. Daniel made a practice of praying 3 times a day with his face toward the holy city of Jerusalem. 3 times a day, Daniel was faithful in his prayer life. Daniel lived his life many times on the basis of prayer. How he conducted himself. How he presented himself to the rulers there in Babylon. The things that he shared with his other captive friends during this time in Babylon. Daniel made a practice 3 times a day. I envy Daniel in his perseverance of prayer. Daniel, when he prayed, they were usually not short prayers. But we find within our own lives, many times our prayers are short. I know in my life, I pray several times. In fact, I would say many times. A man with a family, a wife, 5 kiddos, 5 in-laws, grandkids, great-grandkids, great-great-grandkids have a lot to pray about. I pray many times during the day. Many times, they're short prayers. Lord, meet the need that this child or their spouse or the grandchild might have. Prayers, short prayers, minute prayers. But I still usher those prayers to the Lord during the day. Daniel had a concentrated prayer time. We find here in Scripture, 3 times a day he knelt and prayed. Daniel made a practice with his face towards the holy city of Jerusalem. Today, we're not to pray any less than Daniel. We're told to pray without ceasing. There's so many things going on in life today that need our prayers. We ought to be faithful in our uttering of prayers daily for the needs that we see around us. Some people fast because they are ill. They're not hungry. They have no appetite. We ought to pray for some relatives of Jane, Joey, and Fern. We ought to pray. He is in this situation. He's ill. Food cannot be forced into people's mouths. We find here that Carl is on a liquid diet. Because he cannot swallow whole food. Pray for Carl. We find others fast because of poverty. We find many people as we travel around East Texas various times. We find food centers where food is passed out to those who maybe do not have the means to purchase the amount of foods they need. Others like that fast or do not eat because of poverty. They can't afford the simplest of foods. There's people living in America who have never experienced or known the satisfaction of having a full stomach. Then there are those who fast who do without food in order to put first things first. They have been so overcome with worry and adversity and problems in their lives that they devote their time to pray and pray and pray. asking God's provision. Their hearts are heavy. Food must be forgotten in the face of that which is most important. They call upon God to supply the needs that they might have within their families. I know there have been certain times within the lives of our children and their spouses when maybe food was in short supply. Has to be. As many things as there are out there claiming the funds that we have, there are people who fast because they pray for God to supply their needs. Fasting and prayer. Daniel knew what that was all about. And fasting and prayer is encouraged when one finds himself alone. When there is no one to turn to but God. And so we find here Daniel had been praying. And in verse 11 of chapter 10, and he said unto me, this man that Daniel saw, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. When he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. So here is a man in Daniel's vision who appears unto him and said, Daniel, your prayers have been heard, and I'm here to let you know. Verse 3. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Have you ever prayed and prayed and prayed and no answer came? Could be that you're experiencing the problem that Daniel had experienced, that his prayers were heard, God had sent the answer, but the answer just hasn't arrived because it's been interrupted by none other than one sent by Satan to interrupt and to sidetrack the answer. I am come, this man said to Daniel, for thy words, they've been heard. Your prayer's been answered. When he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face towards the ground, and I became dumb. The man had told him prior to that, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. He says, now I'm here to make you understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. It's not going to happen soon. It's way off in the future, but I'm going to tell you all about it. It's exactly in the East Texas vernacular what the angel or the man told Daniel. And in verse 16, and behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. He said, it has been revealed unto me the things that are in store for my countrymen. In the future, way into the future, but I have no strength. Those things are so terrible. Verse 17, for how can the servant of this, my Lord, talk with this, my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. Verse 19, and said, "Oh man, greatly beloved, this man, Daniel, God has sent these ones to Daniel." And they said, "Daniel, you're loved of God. You're loved of God." What an encouragement that must have been to Daniel. "Oh man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong." And when he had spoken unto me, I was straightened and said, "Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me." The answers to prayer. The answers to your prayer, my prayer. Strengthen us as we see the answers develop. Then said he, "Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? Now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Persia shall come, or prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee," verse 21, "that which is noted in the scriptures of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince." These things that we've just read here in Daniel chapter 10 enlighten, they teach us as believers as to why our prayers many times are not always answered immediately. God does hear. The moment we pray, God does hear. God does answer our prayers, but sometimes our prayers are not immediately coming with the answers as we think they should. If God today is answering your prayers, remember this. He may delay some time, but he is never late. Many times our sins, God keeps God from answering our prayers. We know when we sin. We know as we go before the Lord as believers and confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But sometimes our sins delay God answering in our to our prayers. So, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, we read, "We learn that a family's prayer may not be answered because a husband and wife are not considering or considerate to each other." Verse 7 of 1 Peter 3 reads, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Not praying according to the will of God many times keeps our prayers from being answered. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of God or desired of God." Daniel, in his life, we find no mention of sin. Isn't that amazing? David, a man after God's own heart, we read in Scripture, had sin. Grievous sin in his life, but no mention of sin in Daniel's life whatsoever. Yet Daniel prayed for 21 days and his prayers had not been answered. What's the difference? Daniel was told he was greatly beloved of God. An angel appears unto him and declares that the very first day he prayed, his prayers had been heard. God responded and sent the answer. And that this angel had been sent with the answer to Daniel, but he was delayed. What caused the delay? The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood this angel for 21 days, kept Daniel's plea from being answered. And it withstood for 21 days the answer to Daniel's prayer. He couldn't get through to Daniel. So we find a call for heaven's help was made and Michael the archangel showed up and was sent to be his rescue and subdued the prince. What's all this they're talking about? Who's the prince of Persia? Well, I think him to be an angel of great power who has fallen in his position with the Lord Jesus Christ and has followed Satan, whom Satan has placed as the head of this government. For other portions of Scripture, we learn that Satan is well organized, that he has many of the former angels of God following him, willing to exalt him as God. Ephesians 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." This world today, folks, lies in the hands of the wicked one, none other than Satan himself. And he sees to it that his angels are connected in all areas of our lives, including our governments. 1 John 5:19 says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." Verse 20, we read here in Daniel chapter 10, God shows that Daniel, when Greece shall come upon the scene, it too shall have an angel appointed over it by Satan, Michael the archangel. One of God's primary angels, the archangel, defeats the prince of Persia, allowing this other angel to come to answer Daniel's prayer. Satan has his angels set up to defeat the child of God, so the Lord has his angels, his guardian angels, over his children. We need to know that the lesson that God would have us to learn from this is the good and the bad angels are always in battle one against the other. This satanic conflict may delay our prayers in being answered as quickly as they should be. But we who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior are encouraged to keep on praying. God may delay, but He's never late. Should there be satanic forces delaying the answers to my prayers or to your prayers, Michael or another angel will come to the rescue. The angelic world is a very real world. God has set it up so that we as His children are protected by these angels that He sends our way. While angels are sent forth to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation, we're never commanded to pray to these angels. Michael is the deliverer of God's people. He contended with Satan over the body of Moses. He shall fight with Satan and his angels, casting them out of heaven in the midst of the tribulation period. Those 7 years that follow the rapture of the church, the great tribulation being the last 3.5 years. We read in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels." Verse 8, "And prevailed not, neither was their place found." Any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. So we find Satan is the deceiver of the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out along with him. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. He shall deliver God's people out of the hands of those that would cause them harm during the great tribulation. Daniel 12:1, "And at the time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that same time And at the time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Enoch walked with God. Abraham was called a friend of God. David was called a man after God's own heart. Daniel 10, verse 19, we have read and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto you. Be strong. Yea, be strong. When he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Here in verse 19, Daniel is called the one greatly beloved. What a title to be desired by each one of us, to be pointed out by God as one whom he loves. We find, looking at verse 21, we're told that Daniel would be given portions of the Word of God that were already written. Daniel 10:21, and I will show thee that which is noted in the Scriptures of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. When were these Scriptures written, and where? Well, we find the answer in Psalms 119. Verse 89, Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. These Scriptures, written all in heaven, from all eternity in heaven, God has allowed his prophets to give us that which has already been recorded and guaranteed. Times past, all of these things God had determined. And he now is developing and continuing his work, his ministry, within the lives of we who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And one day, all Scripture will be fulfilled. We will be in his presence forever and ever. We shall experience the things that we have read about, that we have spoken about, that we have desired as we walk this road here in this old earth. Let's pray. Father, we come. We thank you so much for the truth of your word. We thank you, Father, eons of time past, these words that we are privileged to read this morning have been written. They've been written in heaven. No matter the dates, Father, that your servants here on this earth have penned these words, your words were already in existence. They were already saying the things and carrying the messages that you would have us to know, to understand, to benefit by today as we walk with you. Father, we pray today that our walk with you might be one that is honoring and glorifying to you. Father, we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.